Welcome to Smart Finance 360, the podcast where money matters meet innovative thinking. Every week, we dive deep into the world of finance, exploring trends, debunking myths, and bringing you the latest insights from industry experts. Whether you're a seasoned investor, a financial newbie, or somewhere in between, this is your go-to source for becoming financially savvy. All right, welcome to another episode of Smart Finance 360, Your Mortgage and More. This one is a perfect podcast for the actual name of the podcast. I know I steer, way far left or way far right on different topics and we spin it back to finance, but this one really is truly finance because today we have the guest, Rob Piclow. He's the COO of AFR, and it's an honor to have you. You flew out to Florida here. Dude, you're a stud.
Listen, thank you. No, I'm not. But flying in, it was awesome. First time ever here in Utah.
Hey, like the mountains?
It is incredible. It's an incredible experience. I'm excited to come. I'm already planning my trip back. Like, yes. I want to be back.
Oh, you September. You said September. I definitely do. At tail end of September.
Yeah, September, October is definitely the plan.
Dude.
But made the trip out, and everything has been amazing so far. I definitely want to come back as soon as possible.
Yeah, that's something that we always like to hear when people come and they love Utah because, we're kind of obsessed with here. I got to get to Florida, though.
Get to Tampa.
Great things on Tampa.
Let's go.
And I'm a huge Tom Brady fan. Now, I know Patriots fans, I know he's a Patriot, but at the time he was Tampa Bay, I was a huge Tampa Bay fan, watched all the games because I'm just a TB12 guy, so can't wait to get out there. But let's talk about you. Tell me a little about your history because it's kind of crazy, I would say, as far as a 360, you were at AFR back in the day, now you're back. Tell me kind of quick, just a history recap of how that happened.
Yeah, I mean, I cut my teeth at AFR and learned the mortgage business. So it started a million years ago, back 2003, where I started and started in the business. I have a very good friend, my best friend, Sean Hammond, is actually here at UMortgage. And he was doing mortgages and said, hey, you got to get into this business. I was in actually a fiber optics project manager for MCI WorldCom at the time. And he said, you got to come do mortgages. And it was like one of those funny movie scenes where he like showed up in his car and was like, get in the back, we're doing mortgages. And I jumped in and that was it. And, history.
Crazy how that happens. I feel like every mortgage story, I'm like, how do you get into mortgages? Like, oh, I was doing this completely different, not even remotely close to anything to finance or anything whatsoever. It just happens that way. And you kind of just dive in the water and learn loans.
Yeah. So, I'll give you one quick story on that one. Starting in the business, or I shouldn't say, I'm getting recruited into the business. And when I was trying to make my decision, I went to my boss at the time, who was an amazing mentor of mine. And this guy's brilliant, like a brilliant, brilliant guy. He understood how to turn, electrical and data pulses into light and shoot it across cables and receive it and convert it back. And he understood how that worked. Like I was able to fix them and run the loops and other stuff for the fiber optic networks. But he understood how every piece of it worked. And I'm talking to him about it, and then I'm talking to the mortgage person who was probably making three or four times the amount of money that this brilliant guy was making at the time. And I will say, was in the mortgage business for not the right reasons. He was in the business for something else. And after speaking to this guy, and then talking to my manager and this again brilliant, brilliant guy, and kind of laid out the opportunity for him. And his first thing he said, he goes, I'm going to tell you something like your boss. He was like, you can't go. You're too valuable here. I want you here. Like, we'll figure out a way to make this work. And he goes, no, I'm going to tell you something like you're my son. He goes, go. He goes, you will do amazing things in the mortgage business. Yeah. This is what you're describing is who you're
yeah.
working, against, basically, if that's the industry. So I jumped into, I made the decision. I left that job and got into mortgages. It clicked right away. The numbers part of it was like right up my alley. I loved it. And then started at AFR. So we started at AFR, 2003. And when we started, it was just 14 people in the company. Like when we got hired, like my desk, I literally like opened the bathroom door and hit the back of the chair of the CFO, like it was one of those things. And we started the company and had a really good opportunity in 2008-ish where the crisis was happening and had an opportunity to buy into a mortgage company. So, really good timing to take every penny you've ever earned and like tell your family, hey, by the way, we're buying into an industry that's like on fire.
Yeah.
But it was a great decision, obviously, at the time. And I was able to do all the things you know, that I think I bring to the table now. I got to learn about the business. There was nobody that was, you know, teaching you how to do it. So we learned how to do, you know, different types of loans. We learned how to securitize. We learned how to do like the wholesale business. We learned everything on the fly and reading books. So I got to take positions that were way over my head. And then after, 14 years at AFR, I ended up selling the company back to some shareholders and left and went to go work at a publicly distressed public company, I should say, called Ditech. And I got to run originations for those guys, which was a lot of fun, learn stuff. We were doing, you know, $1.5 billion a month of originations, which
a lot
crazy. And I got to, you know, see all of it, all channels, and oversee all the lending for that company. And then we prepped that company for sale. So we sold the company to NewRez. And, you know, at that point, I didn't know exactly what to do. You know, we had some time of non-competes and whatnot. I took a little time off, golfed a little bit.
Yeah.
A little bit more.
Shopping on as a thrower.
That's it. And then got my handicap lower and then decided to start a mortgage brokerage and got back into how I started in the business where, you know, I had incredible opportunities at AFR to run a retail division, you know, had a bunch of LOs, run an internet marketing division, start a consumer direct division, run capital markets, strategy. Got to do all these fun things. I had to learn about mortgage accounting and all this fun stuff. I got to do all that. And then I went back to origination and having a small origination company. And really gain some experience in learning about that side of the business again, because I had lost it. It had been 14 years since I had really originated. I got back to it and then took my brokerage and bolted onto U Mortgage and had an incredible time at U Mortgage. Got to help the company and some of the aspects that they were doing in their incredible growth that they have.
You were very helpful.
Amazing ride. And really that, you know, that time frame built incredible relationships like this one. And really the people and the community and the company, just something I've not ever seen in the mortgage business before. But when opportunity comes up, and this happened again, full circle moment where an old high school friend came up and said, I'm working for a fund and we're looking to buy an originator like that has all the tickets and all the things you can do in terms of securitizations and approvals and whatnot. Do you have any ideas? And I said, I think I might have an idea. And turns out that AFR was eligible or looking to potentially sell. And we worked with the fund and consulted with them to find, you know, this target. They worked for a while. And then once they solidified a deal, they came back and said, hey, we would love for you to come back and run it. And I said, holy cow, I'm coming back to AFR.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So it was a long story, but that's how we started.
Well, it worked out.
So we came full circle and we're back.
Full circle, you're back. Tell me a little bit about, you know, how you buy a mortgage company. How does that even work?
Yeah, it's hard, especially in this environment, right? It's not necessarily a hot investment, let's say. But, you know, with everything, with any type of mortgage market, we know we had the 2020-21 low rates. Mortgage companies were making lots of money. And then we had the after, you know, where it's tough. It's a tough business. And we found that, you know, there's this, you know, opportunity when things aren't great. You know, if you go in when things are fantastic, it's expensive and it costs a lot of premium to pay for a company that's doing really, really well. So here we had an opportunity to have a company that has all the potential, has all the foundation, all the good bones, you would say, in a good house, right? Has a good structure. It just wasn't executing. So you have an opportunity for this. You have a company that it would take us years and years and years to obtain the types of approvals and licenses that they had. They weren't doing a lot of volume and they were very... I would say they erred on the side of compliance and caution in all of their originations. So then you don't have to worry about
conservative.
Very conservative.
So with a good track record.
Great track record. The agencies love them. And so that limits legacy risk, which is a huge concern with a lot of companies that went under over the last few years, is because they went, you know, guns a-blazing, did every type of origination that they could and cut corners. And that came back to bite them later. So a company like AFR was a really good investment opportunity. We have a thesis that you know, we think there's growth opportunities in the mortgage space, specifically in that broker and non-delegated correspondent channel, and we just love that business. We love the people we get to work with and companies we get to work with, like guys like you, and the investment kind of theory was born, and we got people that were interested, put money into the fund to purchase the company. And in February 8th, we ended up you know, raising enough capital, and we ended up closing and purchasing AFR.
Full swing, circle back.
Yeah.
What's cool is this is technically your fourth time now. This will be your fourth time doing this.
Yeah.
You started over at the AFR to begin with. Yep. Then Ditech helped a lot the first, you know, I call it first quarter of U Mortgage ever being in business.
Yep.
And now you're doing this again. So you got a lot of experience. Tell me a little bit about the channels. So you guys are specifically focusing on non-delegated and the broker channel.
Yeah. Having lived it, we saw what opportunity there was. And it's not a knock on the current places. We know there's two big giants, you know, that do a ton of the business. And we looked at that and said, boy, like the broker channel is about choice. And there isn't as much choice as there
once was.
As there once was and as there should be. So if we go in and do things right, there wasn't a lot that would need to be done to get, not necessarily to the top two, but to get into that top five, top 10 pretty easy, but top five, top three. We think we have what it takes to get there quickly and hopefully overtake the top one or two. But in general, you're looking at it and see there hasn't been a lot of investment. A lot of people use the wholesale channel as like, yeah, well, we have a wholesale division, but really I'm focused on retail, or I'm really doing this other type of business, this consumer direct business. And we don't see it that way. So we see that the best place to get a loan, that last mile of origination, is through those channels. We think it's an incredible opportunity. Not enough people doing it and not enough people investing in it. So that's part of Huge opportunity for us.
Yeah. And, you know, and depending on the partners, and what's cool is you have probably, you know, 3,000 to 4,000 partners that now you can work with. Maybe more. There's so many brokers out there, but
About 3,000.
Find the good ones that actually really care and really know their stuff. And, you know, can send you, you know, really good loans. And so tell me a little bit about that, where, you know, what have you made changes in the process right now? Because a lot of times, you know, if you're listening and you're a loan officer here, you're going to think AFR and you're going to think, oh, I did a loan with them 10 years ago and they freaking suck. Well, guess what, guys? You know, a lot has changed. And since you've been there, and even in my office have experienced it, it is a night and day difference than even what it was before you were there. I can't imagine what's going to be in the next few quarters now that you're running the show, because what you did for U Mortgage is phenomenal. So I just know you're going to make it work here at AFR. What changes have you guys made right now that, you know, if a loan officer that may be listening, I hope they're listening, this would be great. I'd love to have loan officers listening on my podcast.
Yeah.
But if they're listening, what would, you know, what have changes AFR made that can help benefit them to, you know, want to send business on the wholesale or non-delegated channel?
Yeah, it hasn't been easy. We'll say that. It's been a lot of change. And it's more so, you can say, I came in with a new tech stack and we did this and that. Like, it wasn't about that. We have a very good core business. We have a really good, infrastructure around technology. We have a really good stack. Like, we will be able to build cool things. What we needed to do first is just completely change the mindset of the team members and leadership team. Like, that was the first thing. Like, they had done niche products primarily.
Yep.
Did a very good job with the niche products, but it was more so of the feeling of like the loan was there, and when we got the loan, or AFR would get the loan, the feeling from our customers is that we didn't care about their experience. And to me,
it was more like, oh, we're the only ones that can do this. You should be a little more grateful that this leases products out here.
Exactly right. And what we had to do was flip that. And I use the word grateful a lot. Like, here, you have a loan originator, you know, spends months, you know, talking to a referral partner, you get an opportunity, finally get the shot, loan officer gets the loan, can turn around, can send it to, you know, 250 lenders that are out there. And like I said, I know, I just mentioned that I think there's really good opportunity there.
Yeah.
They do have choice. They have 250 choices, but I don't think a lot of them are doing a good job with it, but they have a chance to send it to 250 places and they chose us. They chose AFR to send the loan. We need to start thinking that way and being incredibly grateful that they sent us alone, and it's for us to, you know, succeed or fail with it. And it's the loan officer's relationship that's going to be either, you know, bolstered or diminished. Like, that's what's going to happen with, you know, a bad experience. They're not going to get another loan. They're going to ruin the relationship. A good experience, you get a chance to get that next loan. So the loan officer is putting all those eggs in our basket. We have to be incredibly grateful and start thinking of it that way, and think about, you know, being absolutely obsessed with our broker and our customer experience. We don't want any, our team members can't be, thinking it's about, you know, oh, well, it's my day or this is inconvenient for me. If I think of it, like, if I'm out there trying to get loans, what is it for them? And what is the experience for the customer? And we have to be obsessed with what that's like. And that was the first shift. And the second one is, you know, taking feedback and making change. I think brokers are used to like providing some feedback and they may complain about something, maybe it's not relevant, but if we see a gap in a process or a really good suggestion or something that we recognize was a pain point or friction, eliminate it.
Yes.
Done. As long as it meets guidelines, I'm not doing any regulatory issues, no compliance issues. Like, if there's something in the process that is a pain, how to upload a document or how to tag a condition or do whatever, let's remove it. Let's just remove it. And we've made those steps and strides. And, you know, it's one or two things a week. All of a sudden, it's been 3 weeks, then it's 6 weeks, and you start to see, and then you get people going, holy cow, I just sent you a loan. It was really good.
It was really good.
Really, yeah, that's what happens when you make change and you're able to do that. And then on top of that, taking in that feedback and making those changes, we're listening for more and building our technology behind the scenes to then make that experience even better. So that's the fun part about what we're doing.
Yeah, I love the piece I love a lot that you just said is about the feedback, because I think the top two that we talk about in the wholesale channel, the reason why they do so well is that they take a ton of feedback.
Yeah.
And not only do they take the feedback, they change it pretty quickly. And then, you know, like you said, brokers are a custom of other companies. They just don't. They you know, we hear you. You're doing a good job. And then they don't change anything.
Yep.
It's just over and over and over, rinse, wash, repeat. And then you only get so many strikes until you're out. Some of these other lenders, because it's our reputation's on the line as well. And it's a hard decision to make at times. You know, you got to realize that some of these consumers don't understand as a broker, like, yes, there's always going to be a better deal out there. There's always going to be some investor that may want to, you know, get an 8% rate better. But if their experience is they can't close the loan on time, or like you call them and they're like, yeah, our turn time is 45 days. Well, if I have a 28-day contract, I'm sorry, like I can't. I got to do what's best for you, the real estate agent, and everyone to make sure this closes on time. So it really puts the broker in a predicament, and, you know, to protect their clients. So it's not always about, you know, the rate in that situation. And now, again, when you're working with a broker, they are going to shop, and they're going to be, what was the percentage that they were better than retail? I think it was a high.
Yeah, yeah, it was like 80 plus.
Yeah, it was like 80 plus percent that there's still a better deal. But like, on the side, when you have all these options, like, you really got to take into account of, like, how's the client experience going to be for the client? How's it going to be for myself? Because I'm that wholesale, you know, lender's client at that point. It's like, how's it going to be for me? And I've had times where it was an absolute nightmare, and I had to keep myself together, and I would make it look good on the consumer side for sure. But on my end, I'm doing double, triple the work, because, you know, it doesn't have that, you know, that process there that's...
You have to get the defense mechanism up and block off the bad things.
It's tough. So I love that you have that obsession for that. Tell me a little bit about the tech. I mean, obviously everyone does talk tech, but I actually am excited about the technology you guys have.
Yeah, listen, we've brought on, there was a company that didn't make it based on decisions of the ownership that had built a really, really good portal. And we were excited because we brought in some incredible leadership members from that company and their developers as well, that created a portal and an incredible experience that rivals the portals of the
top. And I love it. I love that portal.
Yeah. Oh,
and that's fun.
Talking in code, can't talk about it, but it was a really good portal. I used to say loans there as well.
Yeah. Let's just say you feel like you're in 2024 when you're logging in.
Yeah.
You really do. Yeah. You don't feel like you're in 1998 like some of these other portals.
Exactly. You know, and what we've done initially, and this is what we did back in 2016 and 17, is the original architecture of our portal was to live outside of the Encompass world. Most people that are using that as your backbone, or a lot of lenders do, that if they have a Encompass, you can tell, you know, of the wholesalers. Yes. Immediately you log in, you're like, oh, it's TPL Loan Center. Like, yes. That's it. So we've taken it outside of that. We've built everything separately. It's our own proprietary portal. And we've built the tech around not only just our wholesale portal, but our borrower experience is ours. The renovation portal is ours. You know, the OTC portal is all ours. So anybody that's working with us, and what's that customer interaction, is our own proprietary software. So we get to build on it and not have to ask permission. We get to build what we want.
Yeah,
that's key. So for us, you know, the ideas and the things that we have is there's nothing off limits now. You know, for us. So if we like something, we're looking to add it. We're trying to focus in on how easy it is for a customer to work with us.
Yeah.
And what is it that they, what's relevant for them? What do they want to see? What do they want to know about the business? That'll be on our dashboard. How is it easy is to submit a loan? How fast can you lock a loan? Like, these are all the things that we're working on that we know were the pain points when I was brokering and originating. So when you get to live that and take a ride, you know, the one item that we have that's not so better, but a different experience than most is that our leadership team is like fresh from origination. Been there recently, and a lot of our competition, the folks that are making the decisions, haven't taken a ride in that role in a long time. So
big difference when you're, and that's why I still to this day, yes, I manage a lot of loan officers, but I like to be boots on the ground, because I like to see what's going on, because you see in live, real time, what is going on in the market when you're originating. And that's cool that you're super fresh and you have the perspective. You understand us very much because you were in it.
Yep.
And then you understand everything else because you've done all the other stuff as well. I was going to ask you another question. Oh, what was it? Secondary market. You guys have focused a ton on your capital markets team. As a matter of fact, I'm probably the most impressed by your capital markets team than I've seen by far of any investor. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so it's a little bit of my background as well. So I got to run capital markets for 5 years at AFR, learned securitization, learned execution there. And, you know, we noticed there's a big gap. Like when we're in the wholesale channel right now, there's companies that provide a lot of value. You know, I'm not going to fly, you know, 1,000 people in and host an event and run a sales rally for you. There's companies that do that for you. There's companies that provide incredible sales coaching. There's companies that provide marketing tools. There's, you know, companies that provide some wacky products. Like there's lots of stuff that's out there. And for us, we recognize there's a huge gap, you know, in the capital markets world and pricing world. It's something that originators, to me, it's like breathing, but that's because when I started, I had to go in and learn how it worked and, like, you know, take your spreadsheets and look at, you know, the FICO score and rate and kind of the LTV and figure out what the rate was going to be and do all the math yourselves. Now it's, and it's been for quite some time, a point and click origination world. So there's a big gap in the knowledge base when it comes to originators, brokers, of how the secondary markets work and capital markets work. So we're working on that, since our capital markets team is second to none. Like we talked about it a lot. I think we have the best talent, especially for a company of our size right now, but we have the talent and ability to have execution that's through the big guys that are out there. So with their ability to kind of slice and dice and find areas and pockets of value, we take a little bit of different approach in the capital markets. One, we're going to provide you a bunch of knowledge about how it works, what's going on, whether you want to take it in or not. At least it'll be provided in a sense, not MBS coupons moved five.
No. I like that. I can hear why FHA pricing is doing what it's doing, why VA pricing is, why maybe you don't want some sort of product like a, you know, a bond program. You kind of explain it in detail of like, well, you know, it's just, you explain it obviously, it's just that right there helps us so much more to understand, to help consumers.
Yeah. It's difficult to, cause you, if you're using common sense, which you have to throw out a lot in mortgage, right? It's like, you know, the mortgage business is weird because you'll have something like the ability to repay rule. And the one thing they don't take into account in the ability to repay is if the person's ever repaid in the past. The one thing they don't count at all is their ability to repay. And,
yep.
And that's the ruled name. And so the same thing goes when it comes to like the markets itself. And when you're talking about rate movements and why certain note rates price at a certain way, like, that's the stuff that we're conveying there. But separately as a company, we've taken a significantly different approach when it comes to execution and how we pass that through. Most mortgage companies take in loans, package, you know, whatever we get in, you bring in the loans, and then you turn around and try and figure out how to get the best execution from those loans. We do it backwards. So we go to the secondary markets and go to our broker dealers and go to people and figure out where the stories are, where is their opportunity, where is someone paying up for a certain type of loan, get all the information and details that we possibly can, turn around, give it to our team, pass it through on the rate sheets and give that out to the originators so they have an edge. So you'll see it all the time where people come in and they'll be like, man, the AFR was priced, you know, 100 basis points through on this loan. Why? How are you pricing so crazy? It's like, well, we went to the street.
Yeah,
I found out that's there, and now I want to try and get that loan in, and maybe of the 100 basis points, I pass through 90 to the front of my rate sheet. I get 10 extra basis points. You guys have a much better price, and now we have an opportunity to get that loan in.
Yeah.
Versus the other way around is hope you sent the loan in, and then if I did get it, I'd make a bunch more money on it, but I can't guarantee I'm going to get that loan.
Gambling at that point.
Exactly. I want to make sure I get it, and I want to pass it through, so we're going to the street first, getting everything we possibly can and putting it in our rate sheets. And we have one of the most unique rate sheets out there. It's a little head spinning to start, but every which way that there's an opportunity to pass through the premium we see in the capital and in the secondary market world, we get it onto our rate sheet and out to our originators.
Seeing that at the end just helps consumers. You're doing your homework, going to the street. I like how you call it going to the street. Just going to Wall Street, figuring out what, you know, products they're interested in and what they're looking at. And you're doing a proactive approach. And it, you know, avoids gambling at that point, you know, because, yeah, you got to hedge your bets on some of the things. But this makes it so that you can really actually, I feel like you guys are actually finding products for your partners.
Exactly right. And the thing for us is not like looking to squeeze or do certain stuff. Like, we pass it right through. Any opportunity we have to pass it through and give an opportunity there, like, we have our margin set, we make our margin, we're good.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Yeah.
I love that. I wish we could talk longer on this. This is great. I could go into detail
forever.
I think it's great. Speaking of that, with the secondary market, you are going to be doing something. Is it every day you do for loan officers or financial people that are interested in finance? You do a bid every single day. Is that what that is?
Yeah. So starting in August, we do it once a week now, but we're doing something called AFR Market Pulse, and that's something we'll be offering on a daily basis in August. It kind of gives an idea. It's 3 to 5 minutes. I always say it's only going to be a minute, but it's always 3 to 5 minutes. I rant. And it'll be going over.
Make it longer. I like it.
Exactly. It'll be going over things that are relevant. One, we'll talk about economic news like the other people do. But instead of going in and talking about, again, MBS prices move 5 basis points, we want to go in and talk about why certain note rates are paying more than others. What's going on in the servicing world and why pricing and servicing is deteriorating, or what kind of pockets of loan are we seeing is hot in the market, has a really good axe in the street. So that's the stuff that we're looking for. I want to pass through to originators out there. It's focused in on the wholesale channel and originators to get a little bit of color. But that's what we're doing, and we'll be doing it on a daily basis, just right on AFRwholesale.com.
Yeah, that's awesome. I mean, that right there, there's so much when consumers call and say, hey, what's my rate? Well, that's a loaded question. We could talk for hours about that.
Yeah.
So it'd be good for loan officers to, listen to that every day so that when people do ask those questions, they know how to answer them. So Rob, it's been great to have you on. I'm super excited what you guys are going to build. I know you're going to make AFR just a great company. And, if you're a loan officer that's listening, it's different. Things are changing, and we're seeing it. I'm not just blowing smoke. We're bringing in loans. It's a good experience, and I'm excited. I think it's great for the wholesale channel to have these options, and you guys are going to crush it.
Yeah, with choice. And it makes it a lot easier when we have customers like you guys, and you particularly, Kyle. So the companies and working, getting the feedback from institutions that know how to originate. And that's a big deal. Like, that's who we're catering to. If you originate, you do some sloppy loans and you don't like to put your stuff together, probably not going to be a great fit. When guys like you and the team that you guys have built, it's incredible to work with you guys, because all the feedback's taken in. We get to change our processes to get you guys better, get more loans in for you and your originators, and then we get more loans just as a byproduct of helping you guys. So it's great to get the feedback, and we really appreciate you guys.
We're a team, and that's how we can get to the next level. When you have a good wholesale partner, a broker holds on to them for dear life, because it's like, we can get to a groove, help consumers, promise real estate agents that we're going to close in time, and we do consistently do it. So I'm beyond grateful for you and what you're going to be doing. So thanks for being on, man.
Oh, thank you for having me. This was awesome. Thanks, Kyle.
Cool. If you guys need to follow Rob Piccolo on Instagram and Facebook, follow him. Reach out to him if you want to sign up with AFR. If you're a wholesale broker, non-delegated, in the non-delegated channel, reach out to him and his team, and they're going to be a good partner for you.
Awesome. Thanks, Kyle.